यस्तु इन्द्रियाणि मनसा नियम्यारभते अर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियै कर्मयोगम् असक्तः स विशिष्यते। यस्तु इन्द्रियाणि मनसा, दिस भगवद गीता 3.7, Krishna is telling Arjuna to practice karma yoga, and he is saying yastva indriyani manasa. He is comparing the person who controls the sense, who restrains the senses and acts like a renunciate, a false renunciate, whom he has mentioned in 3.6. Now Krishna is comparing that with a regulated householder. Yastva indriyani manasa niyamya arbhate Arjuna karma indriyai karma yogam asaktah sa visheshyate. So indriyani manasa, so with the senses one controls with the mind, niyam yarabhate, does niyam karma indriyai karma yogam. So using, by regulating the karma indriyas, one practices karma yoga. Asaktah sa visheshyate, the person who is at detached, asaktah, asaktah is one who is attached, asaktah is one who is detached. So, vishishyate. Vishishyate means it's much better. So, what Krishna is speaking over here is that detachment is manifested through detached action is better. He has earlier given three reasons to avoid the path of inaction. That is, it is impossible. It is itself not fruitful and it can become adharmic. Now, let's look at the components of this verse to understand it better. Yastva indriyani manasa niyamya arbhate Arjuna. Niyamya arbhate. That means, niyama is a rule with which one controls. The point is not just to control the senses, but to use certain rules to control the senses. Karmendriyai karma yogam. And karmendriyai karma yogam means that one practices karma yoga. So, the Bhagavad Gita is a world engaging book, not a world rejecting book. And in general, in any society, marriage and the married order is the foundation of the social fabric. For a spiritual society, the renounced order is the inspiration. That means even those who are in this world and who aspire eventually to get out of this world, they need some living inspiration and they get from the renounced order. So in that sense, the renounced order is the inspiration. But the householder order is the social foundation. Social, financial, and other things is the foundation. So, if we look in the, there is sometimes the polemic, which order is better? Is the renounced order better or the householder order better? But such a confrontationalist approach to the order, to orders, misses the cooperative nature of the spiritual endeavor as is envisioned in Varnashram. So that means cooperative nature is how? Because there are four ashrams and the ashrams are progressive. So from Brahmacharya one can go to Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas, or from Brahmacharya one can go to Sannyas directly. The Jabali Upanishad says that whenever one gets the inspiration to renounce, one should renounce. That means if a brahmachari feels like renouncing, the brahmachari can also become a sannyasi. Of course, one has to have the determination, the will for purification, things like that. That we will discuss later in the flow of the Gita. But here the important point is that actually both ashrams reinforce each other. For any society to function, the prime movers of the society are going to be the householders. Not only do they keep the society moving by doing the various activities in the society, but they also keep the generations moving. Generation after generation, society goes on through the householder order. And although in one sense in India, the renounced order has been very much respected, there was a renounced order in the Catholic Church, but because of the excessive abuses and malpractices done by many Catholic monks, including even the Pope, in the Christian Reformation that happened, they rejected monkhood entirely, and that's why among the Protestants there is no monkhood. So in some religious traditions, the renounced order is not there or is downplayed. It's interesting that although the renounced order was always given a significant importance in the Indian culture, but still India was materially prosperous. It was so prosperous that millennia, that century, decade after decade, century after century, millennia after millennia, invaders came to India to gain its prosperity. Now, who was creating this prosperity? At a philosophical level, we could say that because Indians were dharmic, so dharma produces artha. That is true. But along with that, we also have to understand that dharma, when it manifests, it has instruments. That those instruments are living human instruments. So it was the householders who were working. India has natural resources quite richly. But still those natural resources also have to be used properly. So the point of all this is that actually Indian society functioned and functioned prosperously because the householders were diligent. So their diligence not only led to prosperity, but there was also enormous morality in society. That morality was a result of the sense of responsibility with which the householders maintain the society. So karma yoga, where one works in a spirit of detachment, what does it do? Now, is it that all Indians throughout generations were karma yogis? No. Many of them were karma kandis also, who aspired to do punya so that they could get artha and kama either in this world or in the next world. But karma yoga was also considered an ideal. And many people aspired for it, but how many lived on it, that is a different issue. But the important point to recognize is that they all aspired for it. And that aspiration eventually led to many people aspired for it. And that aspiration kept things in a moral balance. When there is excessive greed, when there is a desire for artha and kama, without the check and balance of dharma and moksha, then that leads to unsustainable growth, which eventually leads to misery, which eventually leads to suffering. So the solution is that we need to recognize the holistic system. Now we will see later that in this chapter how even a karma yogi at the external level acts like a karma kandi. That means follows the system of dharma, artha, kama, moksha externally, although the desires are not there for artha and kama. So here, Krishna, after giving the reasons why a premature renunciation is not good, the converse of them apply here. That if one performs karma yoga, if one does one's duty, now actually, just doing one's duty creates slowly an ethos of selflessness. Because although we could say working for a family is extended selfishness because it's my family, but still even working for a family requires that I don't work for myself. I'm working for something more than myself. And that is the beginning of progress at one level. So I work for a family, I work for my society, I work for my community, I work for my varna. And in that way, the circle of selflessness grows. So the paradharma is where the circle of helplessness expands the most, and it comes to embrace, it comes to go reach Krishna, who is the source of everything. And in that way, the circle of love embraces everything. That is a very lofty level. But that progress towards that lofty level happens through step by step. And Krishna says that by acting with detachment, by working with detachment, you will grow in your spiritual realization. And by thus growing in your spiritual realization, you will ultimately avoid the danger of becoming adharmic, avoid the danger of trying to do something which is impractical, that is being inactive. But rather, by acting according to your nature, you will grow steadily in your realization, in your wisdom, and in your spirituality. Thank you.